relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Last night I was on the phone for two straight hours with Xi Jinping, and you all know as well as I do these folks. And it was a good conversation. I know him well. We spent a lot of time together over the years I was vice president, and. We don't get moving, they're going to eat our lunch.
If we don't get moving, China is going to eat our lunch. Well, isn't that a surprise? Welcome to the second hour of our special President's Day edition of America First. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist and deputy assistant to the 45th President of the United States. This is the Salem Radio Network, and we have a very special hour for you. One of my former White House colleagues is in studio for the whole hour. Former defense attaché in Beijing, former stealth bomber pilot, and it's not the sexiest job he had, but it was pretty important. Senior Director for Strategy in the Trump administration in the White House, Brigadier General Rob Spalding. Welcome back to America First.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Are you surprised to hear what Joe Biden said on Thursday? This is not exactly what we expected to hear, because he's had a rather different message on the campaign trail when it comes to China.
No, I'm not. You know, I think he had a lot of interactions with Xi, and there's a long history and pattern behavior. I talked about it in my book. He's not the only one. I talked about Mitch McConnell as well, so it's on both sides of the aisle. So, no, not at all.
But he was saying not too long ago that they're not a competitor, they're not an adversary. What are you talking about, trying to tamp it down, say it's just another country? But I guess reality comes at you hard and it comes at you fast if you're the commander-in-chief.
Well, he's going to find out, just like President Trump found out, that D.C. runs you more than you run D.C. And what happened during the 4 years of the Trump administration is that there was a fundamental shift in how we look at China that started with the national security strategy. And for the most part, the departments and agencies have embraced that. Of course, there's the standouts also in the think tank world that are fighting that. But if you look at who he's put into his staff, many of them the Chinese wouldn't invite over any more than they would, you know, Steve Bannon right now. So
decent people?
There's a lot of decent people that he's brought in, you know, in terms of the way they look at China. Now, ultimately, what we found out in the Trump administration, and this is what we don't know yet about the Biden administration, when you get into that NSC meeting, what's the president going to say? Because what he's going to hear is conflicting voices. You're going to hear the panda huggers and the China hawks. And what the president consistently did was side with the China hawks to push back against China. Well, now we're going to see what Biden does.
The book is Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept, by our special guest, Brigadier General Rob Spalding, retired United States Air Force. Follow him at Robert_Spalding on Twitter. So talk to us about why China is an issue. For the longest time, we had this very sinister, selfish compact between whether it was Silicon Valley, whether it was companies outsourcing jobs, whether it was the U.S. Chamber of Commerce that just treated China as a source of cheap goods and cheap labor. Why is the story far more complicated, Rob?
Well, if you look at the Soviet Union, they shut down East Berlin. They put an iron curtain around Eastern Europe. They pointed weapons at us. Khrushchev banged his shoe on the podium. So they were very clear that they didn't like us. And they, you know, Khrushchev was very clear, as was Stalin and Lenin, all of them, that we're going to destroy the capitalists.
We will bury you.
We're going to bury you. What the Chinese Communist Party did is the complete opposite. They essentially say the same things when behind closed doors, but then when they come out of their enclaves, they say, no, we want globalization, we want openness, we want free trade, we want open seas, we want all of these things, the same thing that you want, except then when they go and implement their policies, they do the exact opposite. Right. So in essence, what the Chinese have done so well over the course of their history is practice political warfare. And so they took a completely different approach, an approach, by the way, that works really well with America, because if you punch us in the nose, we're going to fight back. But if you give us a hug, we're going to hug you back.
If you say, I want to be your friend, and I told my guys, I had a long background in DOD. The biggest flaw we have in our IC and in our intelligence community and in the military is mirror imaging, where we look at other nations, communities, expecting them to have the same value system we do. And when we say, I want to be your friend, Rob, in America, we usually think, well, that's nice. Let's be friends. But there are cultures and there are regimes where they say stuff they don't mean, right?
Right. And what America did, especially in the Cold War, because of this, the Soviet Union presenting themselves as an adversary to us, we closed down the opportunity for our businesses, our major corporations,
yes,
to do business with them. Okay. Well, what we did with China is said, we're going to trade with you. We're going to open up. We're going to help you grow your economy. And if you do, you're going to become more like us. That
meaning, let me just add here, what Kissinger and others said is, the more we do business with China, the more democratic it will be. I mean, that was
right.
The massive fallacy.
Right. And what that enabled them to do, the Chinese Communist Party, is instead of, you know, where GM and Ford used to be and Boeing used to be incentivized by the United States, they became incentivized by the Chinese Communist Party. So now Apple, Google, Amazon are far more willing and able to assist the Chinese Communist Party in what they want to do in terms of having jobs in China and growing their economy than in doing the reverse for the American public. And it's because we've allowed it to happen from a policy perspective.
Give us a little bit of a glimmer of hope. You, friends of ours inside the Trump administration, the Deputy National Security Advisor, Matt Pottinger, and others did incredible work to change perceptions, to make those who need to understand what political warfare is, what economic warfare is, what China really wants. Can you describe how big the shift has been in the last 4 years in government and in the private sector? Has something started, Rob?
Yeah, it has. And it really, if I go back to 2014, I'm in the Pentagon advising the chairman of the Joint Chiefs on this problem, and you could not say anything against China. It was a completely different environment. Now, I got to the White House in, early 2017, after the Trump administration had come in, and worked very closely with Matt Pottinger to change the perception of the National Security Council staff with regard to the challenge we faced with China. That happened. In fact, you were part of a lot of those meetings. I had a series of discussions we called Winning Without War. And we would bring in experts on political warfare, economic warfare, and we would debate. And it became it was just over a matter of a few months, the detailees, they come from NSA, they come from the CIA, they come from the State Department, who had in 2017 in the beginning looked at China as a friend. Yeah. All of a sudden they began to see the Chinese Communist Party for what it was. And that was the beginning of the change of the federal government's perception.
30 seconds. What about the private sector?
Well, the private sector is much harder to bring along because China uses the market pool of 1.4 billion consumers and their cash. They pay these companies, you know, Wall Street companies, a lot of these tech companies make money from partnerships with China. That's a harder job to fulfill. The way you get at it is through tariffs, through entity lists, those things. That's why
trade war.
That's what Biden does. In the next year, we'll determine a lot of how, you know, corporate America responds.
We're talking to Brigadier General Rob Spalding, former Senior Director of the National Security Council, a B-2 stealth bomber pilot, and our defense attaché in Beijing. Now he is working with us here in studio to help America understand the threat that is posed by the world's largest communist dictatorship. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is a special edition of America First.
To America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
I love our listeners. You guys are an army for the truth. Last week when I told you, when I read you the list of the 20 companies that are trying to cancel that great American Mike Lindell, you stepped up to the plate. What did you do? You purchased, let me do my math, more than 20,000 pillows. Yeah. No, more than that. Lots! Tens of thousands of pillows in 1 3-hour period to support this great American who they want to simply cancel out of existence. Those companies are ShopHQ, Kohl's, Kroger, BJ's, Bed Bath & Beyond, The Shopping Channel, JCPenney. Send the cancel culture lunatics and the left a message. Mike supports us. Let's support him. Go to MyPillow.com because you're a friend. He's going to give you 60% off. Buy, if you've got one of these pillows, get another one. Get one for your grand. You won't regret it, and you'll be sending a message to those who hate America. Call 800-829-8468. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. That's 800-829-8468 or MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A for that massive discount. You support Mike, you're sending a message to the left, and you're supporting talk radio. God bless you all. We are back in studio for this very special edition, this President's Day edition of America First, with my former colleague from the Trump administration, Brigadier General Rob Spalding, former stealth bomber pilot, former defense attaché in Beijing, author of How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. Buy the book now. Read what he has to say. He's got a pretty good Twitter game. Follow him as well at Robert_Spalding. Before we started the show, we started talking about favorite presidents. It's a good day to talk about it. Rob Spalding, your favorite commander-in-chief?
Lincoln, by far.
Because?
He had the biggest problem. You know, if you think about Washington and the enemy he had, you know, it's very easy to hate the British.
All those people, those awful accents and those red coats. Yes.
But, you know, Lincoln had to deal with it with the enemy was us. And, you know, if you think about the context of today, it's a very similar situation. We had extreme partisanship going on within the country, all surrounding, you know, the region, you know, South versus the North. And I thought, you know, Lincoln as a president was a great unifier. He kept the country together. One of the things that he believed in and Grant supported, you know, Grant followed him as a president for two terms. And Grant, you know, kept this idea of not exacting revenge on the South for the Civil War, but rather reconciling. And, you know, I think it's the thing that really you could add a different personality in there that would have wanted to exact revenge on the people of the South. Ultimately, Lincoln knew that we were stronger together than we were apart, which, by the way, if you look at the founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton writes about this in the Federalist Papers, the importance of the Union in terms of protecting the society, because we couldn't fight, you know, enemies abroad by ourselves as states. We needed this collective union to work. And, you know, I think Lincoln is really, to me, epitomizes what a president is, which is, you know, a defender of who we are as a republic and why we chose the Constitution and the Federalist type government that we did.
To discuss for a moment, if we made this concept of a house divided, as you walked in, we discussed what we are witnessing in Washington, D.C. as we speak, the second ever impeachment of a president, the first ever Senate trial for a man who is no longer in public office. Explain, as somebody who's not only served the nation in uniform, but who has seen the swamp from the inside, explain what's going on Capitol Hill and why what we're seeing just isn't reality, Rob.
Well, I mean, if you go to the White House as somebody who wears a uniform, politics is not your game. And, you know, I got to learn firsthand what that meant. And it usually meant that the things that you were doing were not in the best interest of the citizens of the country, but were either in the best interest of you or your party. That's what really Washington, D.C. stands for today. If you look at it in the concept of a house divided, you know, what Lincoln dealt with was the South and the North. I think what President Trump dealt with and what Biden's going to have to deal with is not South and North, but more like what the founding fathers were dealing with in terms of structuring the Constitution, and that is the rural areas of the country versus the large metropolitan areas. And I think that's what President Trump really identified as a key challenge today.
I think you're absolutely right, the urban vice, the rural. But I'm surprised by how, I don't know if you're being diplomatic about Biden or not, but isn't it also a function of the elites versus the American people? Because I don't see Biden as a representative. I mean, Donald Trump, despite being a billionaire from Manhattan, really, you know it, I know it, was there for the forgotten men and women, right? The people whose jobs literally had been outsourced to China. Biden, for the last 47 years, has been a member of that elite.
Well, and clearly he was the elite candidate. There's no doubt. I mean, look, if you look at how he did in the primary, you look at Kamala Harris, how she did in the primary, these were not the choice of the people.
Yeah. 3% for Kamala,
party,
right? 3.5% for Kamala.
So, but how did they win? Well, did you read the Time article? We know how they won now.
When they say we're proud of our conspiracy. Conspiracy! Molly Ball's article
that
for 7,000 words.
So shameful. So shameful. Yeah. But look, here's the deal. It's just like the idea you go to war with the army that you have.
Yes.
We have a system right now that we're going to have to make work. Now, you know, I'm focused on how do we, from a grassroots level, from a community level, for those forgotten Americans, how do we get their voice heard in Washington, D.C.? And it's a measure of economic opportunity, restoring the opportunities for those communities that they've lost because of the large corporations like Amazon and Google and Facebook that we've allowed to dominate our economy. But also it's about having a political voice, and that really has to do with election reform. And this idea that we have a duopoly today that really functions to serve the party leadership and the elites, and rather we need something that allows for candidates that step from outside that, aren't beholden to that, and more importantly, when they go to Congress, aren't forced to vote according to what the parties state, but actually can vote their conscience and what's best for their citizens. That's where, you know, I just read a book recently, and I highly recommend it, called The Politics Industry. Mm-hmm. It's written by Catherine Gale, who was herself a business owner. She ran a foods company, Gale Foods, company in Wisconsin. And she was doing a strategy session with Michael Porter, who's a Harvard business strategy professor. And she had this epiphany that you know, what's going on in our political system is the same thing as how, you know, is competition in the food industry. And so she sold her company and devoted her time to figuring out how do we unwind this. And one of the things she came up with is this idea of final four voting.
Okay, we're going to talk about that next. We're talking to Brigadier General Rob Spalding, retired U.S. Air Force. The book you just mentioned, The Politics Industry. His book is Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. So much more to discuss. This is just flying by. Educate yourself. Read the book. Follow him on Twitter, Robert_Spalding. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is a very special edition, your President's Day edition of America First. Don't touch that dial. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
No violence, no hate speech, just happy warriors on America First.
We are back. This is Sebastian Gorka, special edition of America First. If you missed it earlier, this is the link to support Mike Lindell against those who are trying to cancel him and boycott him. It's MyPillow.com. Call 800-829-8468. Support this man. Bed Bath & Beyond, the shopping channel, you name it, they're after him. Show him some love like you did last week. You're going to get massive discounts, 60% off if you use my name. Buy anything. He's got more than 90 products. You will not be disappointed. 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. You've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A. We are back with my good buddy, former colleague from the White House, former senior director for strategy at the National Security Council. You were discussing this book. I've already ordered it, The Politics Industry. What is this final four voting the author came up with?
Yeah, so it deals with the fact that today in our voting, somebody can win a majority of the vote, but not a majority of the population of that community. So you could get 30% of the vote, have the most votes of anybody and win, but yet you don't have a majority of the people there to support you. So what they came up with was this idea of first open primaries. Anybody can run in the primary. Doesn't matter if it's Republican. Anybody can run.
So no party monopoly.
No party monopoly. So the top five people that get votes in the primary go to the general election. Mm-hmm. In the general election, you have you pick your number one choice, your number two choice, all the way down the line. Then they tally the votes. If nobody gets 50%, over 50% of the vote, they kick out the lowest person, and they take all the number two votes from that person, and they allocate them to the other remaining candidates. As soon as you get to that process goes over and over again until you get somebody that has over 50% of the vote, that candidate then wins. And now you've got somebody that is able to reach across the aisle because they've appealed both to the people in, that are on the right and the left in the community. So it's a much more meritocratic mm-hmm. way of electing people. It means they have to respond to their citizens, not the parties, because if they don't, they're going to get voted out because the vote counts now. Now, the interesting thing about Catherine Gale and Michael Porter is they started this organization to begin to push this. A Republican state congressman in Alaska read their paper in 2017 that basically laid this out and started a campaign in Alaska that was on the ballot on November 3rd. Alaska voted for, they called it Final Four voting. So now in Alaska, 2022, you're going to have Final Four voting with open primaries, and the party monopoly will be broken.
I need to read the book, but one thing that immediately jumps to mind, isn't this why the Electoral College already exists? Because you can't just go to the big cities and get a load of votes from urbanites. You've got to go to Poughkeepsie. You've got to go to, you know, North Virginia. You've got to go across a state. Isn't this already inside our Electoral College system, Rob?
So I think that's a good point. What it does is extend that concept down to the local level.
Okay.
So now you're talking about local politicians, congressional politicians, as well as the presidency are all decided more on a, the politicians themselves have to respond to what the voters want. They can't just say, hey, as long as I get 30%, I'm going to win.
Right.
I don't care what, 70% of you think. That's where what we have right now.
Quick question. 2 minutes left, Rob. Let's go back to China, external adversaries. You mentioned the phrase political warfare. As somebody who studied it a lot myself, do we know how to do it anymore as a nation?
No, absolutely
We did, right? 1945, we did.
We did. But look, what we did is we said we built this incredible system. We called the Internet. And then we built these smartphones. Steve Jobs came up with the iPhone. And we created this way for us to, mobily communicate and do commerce, via globalization and this thing called the Internet. And what we created was the ability for the Chinese Communist Party's method of political warfare to be extended around the globe through those channels. And that's basically what they've done. They've adopted our technologies for openness.
It's very smart.
It's brilliant. If you when I'm sitting there in the Pentagon and it finally clicked for me, I realized that we're screwed.
Yeah.
We're screwed.
Because they've used what we've designed against us.
Right. And it's perfect. If you think about that idea of only 30% winning, they use that against us.
Right.
They don't need to listen to anybody else. They drive us apart, and that is the way that they win.
Yeah, you got to give them kudos. They're good at what they do, but they're also communist dictators. So in the end, it's not a good thing. Jamestown Foundation board member, a fellow with the Hudson Foundation, Hudson Institute. He is my former colleague at the Trump National Security Council, Brigadier General Rob Spalding, retired U.S. Air Force. This is a special President's Day edition of America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, on the Salem Radio Network. Stay on this channel.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
I'm so excited. Why? Because my former Trump administration colleague, what kind of a bio? You better write a bloody autobiography. Not only defense attaché behind the wire in China, not only flying stealth bombers, then in the White House in a senior director's position, but now venturing into the private sector to protect us, not just make money. Those are the best kinds of businessmen who are smart, want to make a profit, but also have a mission-oriented objective to their activities. Talk to us about what you want to do or what we should be doing in the technology sphere, especially now we have this social media, cancel culture craziness, 5G, 4G, hardening. Let's start there. What is hardening? And why is it so incredibly important, Rob?
Well, if you look at today, let's just take a rural carrier. There's a lot of rural communities out there that have carriers that are providing service because AT&T and Verizon won't go there because there's not enough customers. Now, they can get money for the government to build that network, but usually the government's looking at who's putting in the lowest bid in order to get that money. So guess what happens? Huawei comes in and says, we'll give you the gear for free. Why? Because you're building a network around, say, an ICBM site that we want to be able to put up cameras around and monitor.
So let's just break this down, because people are going to say, what is he talking about? So this is like what they've been doing in Africa. Nation wants a highway system. And then China says, we'll build you a whole highway system. Oh, by the way, you're going to give us a 50-year bauxite contract or a rare earth minerals contract that we can create all the innards for the phones that Westerners use. And the African nation goes, yeah, that's a great deal. Don't worry about it. Here in America, it's next to sensitive sites. Lowest bidder comes in. China can, of course, underbid any American company because they don't need to make a profit. These are state enterprises, really. And then they're creating a phone network. They're creating rebroadcast hubs around sites that they want information about. So what is the response to that? How can we compete with a nation that can underbid anybody? And again, what is the specific importance of hardening our networks?
Right. So the way the government approached it was, we'll give you money to rip and replace Huawei. But the carrier will say, well, I've got to shut down my network because I've used Huawei to build the entire thing. So they don't want to do it. What we've created is essentially a way to take commercial off-the-shelf technology and protect it both physically and from a cyber perspective from whether it be an EMP attack, which comes from a high-altitude nuclear burst.
Let's stop there for a second for the non-initiated. Electromagnetic pulse weapon, which doesn't destroy through detonation or through the explosion, but creates a pulse of electromagnetic energy that destroys any circuitry that has an integrated board.
Right.
Right. And so it basically just fries
shuts
it.
Shuts the lights off.
Fries
right?
It.
So nothing happens to you. You don't get hurt. You're not going to die of radiation poisoning.
But your ATM isn't going to work.
The lights go out. And if you go back to Katrina, remember what happened there? Within 36 hours, you had mayhem. And that's what you could have around the United States.
So what are you responding to?
So what we've taken is that technology, not Huawei, not ZT, but things like Ericsson or Nokia or other manufacturers, and said, we'll put it in this shell that protects it from EMP.
Which is the hardening.
With the hardening. But we're also going to make it tamper resistant. So if anybody comes in and tries to plug in a wire or touch the inside of this where the computers and the radios are, we're going to detect that, and we're going to zeroize everything and make somebody go out and check on it. So what we're saying is this infrastructure gets put out there, and then what Huawei does is they'll send their technicians in, and they plug right into the base of the tower and feed their software right up into it. We're saying you can't do that in ours. We're not going to use Huawei equipment, but nobody is going to be allowed to update our equipment but us.
Does that make it super expensive?
No. That's the great thing about it. Because we've used commercial off-the-shelf hardware, it's the same cost as putting up a regular network, except now you can protect it from these adversaries.
I'm so excited to hear you're doing this. Do we not need for this to become the way we protect ourselves from any enemy, whether it's China, Iran, cyber actors, whatever? Until we need an educational component that Americans understand why this is important.
Absolutely, and that's why I wrote my book. That's why I'm talking to you here today. I committed myself to, back in 1992 to support and defend the Constitution. I'm still doing that. I just realized in the White House and the corruption that's going on in D.C. that the only way I could do, kind of like Mike Lindell, right? He's taken this, he does his business, but he also supports the country as a private entrepreneur. That's what I'm doing, and I'm doing it from the perspective of if you go read page 19 of the National Security Strategy, we said, what are we going to do? Build a secure nationwide 5G network.
I was in all of those meetings. It's the first national security strategy for the United States in about 30 years that deserves the title. Read it. It's unclassified. We'll post it on our webpage, the NSS. Truly a remarkable document, and we got to make it happen. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Support Mike Lindell. Rob's absolutely right. Go to MyPillow.com. He's fighting for all Americans, a great patriot, a man of God. They're trying to cancel him. MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Likewise, if you want to make sure you don't miss anything from our show, remember, you can listen to us 24/7 at our website, SebGorka.com. We have an app
You can download from the App Store, the America First Sebastian Gorka app. Listen to the show whenever you want. We're on YouTube. We are also on the YouTube Alternative, the guys that believe in the First Amendment. That's Rumble, okay? Rumble.com/Seb Gorka. And, of course, the legacy social media as well. That's Twitter. That's Facebook. That's Instagram. Make sure you are plugged into all of those. They're totally free, and you'll never miss a thing. Lastly, merch. Are you somebody who proudly wants to stand by the phrase America First? Donald Trump may not be the president, but MAGA lives on. America First lives on. He's still the most powerful political figure in America today. Go to our store, support America First. It's SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorka, SebGorkaStore.com. My second book, The War for America's Soul, has a whole chapter on China, the threat of China, and how we can win this war for America. We'll be back with Brigadier General Rob Spaulding here on America First on our special President's Day edition. Stay with us, won't you?
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Is this getting you excited? Do you want to know more? Just before I joined the White House, I wrote a piece for Military Review. We'll post the PDF on all our social media platforms. It is entitled How America Will Be Attacked. I went through the methodology, the ideology, the strategy, the TTPs of ISIS. Now, not an issue. Russia and China. Educate yourself, read that article, and beyond that, get the post-grad level education. Read my guest's book, How China, Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. So with any problem, you've got to educate yourself first, Rob. Then you need to do something about it. We have 3 million listeners. We have untold numbers watching our videos as well, listening to the podcasts. What is the role of the average American who's not in the swamp, doesn't wear a uniform, isn't a political appointee? Do they have any role to play in this?
So one of the things that's been happening with my book is that as soon as somebody reads it, they tell all their friends they need to read it, too. That has really helped.
He's got 1,000-plus reviews. Is it five? I've never seen a fully five-star rated book by a real author. And this is fully five-star rated. 1,100 reviews. So you must be doing something right, Rob.
Well, the whole point was to tell the story in a way that people could relate to, that was accessible. It's not a boring book. It's a fast read. You can, in one coast-to-coast flight, you can read the whole book and get the picture. And it's like, you know, take it. You got the red pill or the blue pill in the Matrix. It's like taking the red pill, and all of a sudden you wake up and you realize, okay, there's other things going on. So that's number one. And I think as you start to look then, what's the next thing you can do? You can start to get involved, you know, locally in your local politics about how do we create this opportunity for innovation in the political system in your universities. If your kid's going to a college and they've got a Confucius Institute, talk to the university leadership about getting rid of the Confucius Institute.
For those who aren't aware, these are state organs here in China that are pumping Chinese communist propaganda into our schools.
And then products. Do you want to buy American products or Chinese products? Look for American products. And finally, make sure that your money, whether it's a retirement account or whether it's part of a pension fund, is not being invested in Chinese companies. Because ultimately, what Wall Street wants to do is send your money to China because the Chinese Communist Party pays them to do so.
Yeah. It's not just about markets and profits. It's about national security and the republic that we have created. What did they say? What did he answer to that lady who asked? It was Benjamin Franklin, wasn't it? A republic, if you can keep it. If you can keep it. And Lincoln was right. A house divided will not stand, cannot stand. These are all things that you must educate yourself on and then get engaged. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to my former White House colleague, Brigadier General Rob Spaulding, retired U.S. Air Force, author of Stealth War. What a great title. I wish I thought of that. Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. Follow him right now, Rob_Spaulding. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stay with us, won't you?